This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, we're going to be continuing our series on the 2015 Hall of Fame inductees when we hear from Sarah Broussard as she reflects on the enormous contribution that her mother, Becky, had on the sport of eventing. But first, Lynn Szymanski joins us fresh from Fairhill International, where she won the 5-year-old Young Event Horse East Coast Championship with the Conspirito mare Spectravet Cohiba. Lynn, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me here.
Well, congratulations. You must be absolutely thrilled beating a field of so many quality horses there.
Yeah, I am. I didn't quite know. I know she's a great horse. I didn't quite know what to expect going into it. And it was quite a large field of quality horses. But she's really been stepping up to the plate. And I got her in the springtime, but was gone this summer and haven't had all that much time to really put a ton of work underneath her belt. We've just kind of been getting to know each other. And this is definitely the biggest test she's had to date. She's just done one full novice competition. So we went into it with an open mind, not having any high expectations, and was, obviously more than pleased with the outcome.
For sure. Well, let's tell her story then, Lynn. How did you meet her in the first place?
My Hannah Suburnett, who's a good friend of mine, was over in Germany looking at horses, and I'm in touch with a contact over there that has gotten other horses through, Juliet Schmidt. And Juliet had sent me a video of her, and Hannah had sat on her and said she seemed like an interesting horse. So I ended up actually just buying her off a video and the word of a friend, and got her over here early springtime. She came down to Florida right before I went back home for the spring and summer, and just took some time getting to know her. She was quite green, but really just a really nice stamp of a horse, really good athlete, good brain. I have grown on mares over the years. and she'd done, I think, some little jumper stuff over there, but it never really done full competitions or anything, just a little bit of schooling. But she is after this weekend, I think, feels like ready to go training her prelim, honestly. I mean, not really, but that test is a little more than I was expecting. I hadn't done any of the young horse stuff for a little bit, just the qualifiers, which is a little bit softer than the year-end championship. And it was quite a test. The cross country, was a few easier prelim questions and all training size stuff. And it really stepped up to the plate more than I expected. So I'm really excited for her future. I'm in a partnership with Spectravet, with Peter and Molly Jenkins on her, who have been some sponsors and very supportive. So it's an awesome way for them to be involved and also get their name out a bit more and be able to bring this really interesting young horse along.
What did you know about her breeding, Lynn? What can you tell us
honestly,
about
her? Yeah, she's by Conspirito out of Lee. I know it's jumper lines, but I really don't know. I honestly don't know that much about her breeding. It's terrible to say, but, I looked, she had enough blood. She was a nice type. And you look for horses that if you're going to make it to the top of the sport that have enough blood to do it. But I've also had quite a few that have on paper been 80% and grown into, big tanks of a thing. So I think you got to look for the right bone and the right types of athletes and know that they do have enough blood. And, it's always a gamble. You can't really tell on paper, but she's a good mover. She's a good jumper and had good bloodline. So, and just decided to take a risk on doing it off a video.
And clearly the temperament too, so far?
Yes. Yeah, so far. She's a bit of an internalizer. She's a quiet horse, but, she carries her nerves inside, which is nice compared to what I'm used to sometimes. She has a great brain. This was her first away show, and that's certainly a lot of atmosphere for them to take in for the first away from home competition and being stabled over there. And I mean, she took it all in great. It doesn't seem to get stressed out or affected by atmosphere. If anything, it just adds a little bit to her, and that's, you know, what we're looking for in the modern horse, because you have to go in those high pressure, high atmosphere environments and just be able to take it all in and almost, you know, kind of light up when you get there. So, no, she was perfect. And it was the first time for the young horses with, in that arena. And we weren't allowed to do a ring familiarization or anything, compared to the two and three star horses. So poor 4 and 5 year olds had to go in cold in the arena there, but she didn't seem to mind at all. She's a very good mover, and I mean, she's not even strong yet, you know, so I'm just really excited to see what's to come in the next 3 years as she continues to develop and get stronger.
So what did you take away from that competition then, and what did that tell you about the mare and what she's capable of?
Yeah, I think she has a great attitude and a great brain. You know, when they're first learning, they're spooky and they make mistakes, and you know, you hope you've prepared them as best you can, and then you kind of throw them in the deep end and see what they can handle. And she was better on the jumping portion than I had ever expected, because it's the most she had ever done. She certainly feels like, you know, she has the gallop and she has the jump and all the right pieces are there, so you just have to see how they continue to develop. And I think I've always been one that likes to start horses from the very beginning, and bring them up to the levels. I like partnership horses, probably because that's kind of the position I've always been in, that I've only been able to afford to get them and start them from the beginning. But it's nice to see more, you know, see a field of upper level riders with some really nice horses that they're developing from the beginning rather than purchasing along the way and bringing in. I think in the long run, it's better for the country. And I think it was really encouraging that we had such a big field this year in the five-year-olds, and they were such top quality that it's just going to continue to raise the bar for our sport in this country for years to come. You know, I remember a few years ago when the young event horse classes weren't that popular and people didn't quite know what they were. I think now people are starting to understand there's more breeding in this country and people bringing good horses in this country at a young age and starting to develop them here.
So are there any bloodlines now that you're particularly interested in as you've watched this class develop and these young horses come through?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly have to say I'm not terribly wonderful with following horses' bloodline. Like, I haven't sat down and really looked at that roster very closely this weekend. There were a few horses that really impressed me, more in the jumping portion, actually. I thought... Jackie Marr's horse that she's actually, you know, bred here, that Lauren had, did a really good job in the jumping portion. I got to watch quite a few of the horses jump there. One of Will's horse, the Bay one, really impressed me as well. I was at the horse of Karis that Kelly rode. You know, we were kind of neck and neck down the last wire. I think I just edged her out by a tiny percentage of 1 point. That horse as well was really unbelievable. And and Melissa's from last year that she had done the 4 year olds with. It's nice to see that one back doing the 5 year olds. And, you know, I think it is important to follow the bloodlines. And unfortunately, that's not my specialty. I actually consult with other people on that. But just the type of horses and the class of horses, I think we're getting closer to what we're needing to look for, other than something that is quite a spectacular jumper and impressive when they're 3 and 4, and then they grow a little bit too big. We're finding a little more the right type of horse for the modern sport.
So clearly there were a few horses that you might have put on the truck, taken home with you.
Yeah, I would have taken them all home. Yeah, all 33 of them. I need a bigger trailer.
So this class, as you say, there are more and more really quality horses coming through. The breeding program is getting stronger and people are recognizing the importance of this event. So where does it fit into your priorities now with the young horses that you'll be looking for? Would you make this obviously the go-to event in the fall for your young horses?
Yeah, I think if, you know, if it makes the most sense for them, absolutely. I think it was a wide variety of experience level in that field. I know some of them have done a prelim and some of them maybe had not even done a beginner novice. And I think the program is good in terms of that it doesn't really hurt some of the greener horses that, you know, I know for the 5 year olds, if you struggled at one of the options, you can take the 4 year old option or go in school and through something, you can end up just skipping that question altogether. They don't fault you if you have a rail. You know, they're more judging the horse's instincts and the type of horses. So I think it's, you know, it's a very good way to showcase the hard work that the breeders have been doing in this country and showcase the horses that professionals and amateurs are picking out and producing, and get to show off kind of what type of horse we like in our training. And, you know, I think it's only going to grow, I hope. And I also think it's great, the grant opportunity. And I mean, as Kelly just displayed this past weekend with her horse coming in the top, I think she was 7th, I can't remember, placed really well at Leon. And, you know, that horse came through the program as a 5-year-old in the championship. So, you know, we hope that we continue to kind of start recognizing those horses at the very beginning and give them chances to really develop more than they would if we had just been out competing like we normally would. I mean, it's the same ideas we have with the developing rider program as well. It's just developing that, you know, recognizing that talent and starting to help them along a little bit more from the very beginning.
Well, when you have a success with a young horse like this, we all know, Lynn, that it's very tempted to kick on. But what do you think is the best thing for this young mare now?
Yeah, I think to just keep doing exactly what we've been doing. I mean, she feels ready to go training after that, for sure. But I actually have her entered in just the novice championships at Virginia Horse Show at the end of the year. Just go back and do something kind of easy and fun. Take the winter, getting her a bit stronger on the flat and working a bit more over fences, and go out in the springtime at training. I don't, you know, each horse has a different, they tell you what they want to do. And I, just because she's stepped up to the plate doesn't mean we have to accelerate her her schedule at all. I think you need to do what's right for the horse physically. I think it's very important to get baseline fitness on them starting at a young age, so you have something to grow on from when you go up to your first 2-star, but it doesn't mean you're out running intermediate by late spring with them. So I've always done what's kind of best for the horse, and some of them are able to progress on a lot quicker than others. I think she's one that you could easily keep pushing along, and you got to be careful that you don't push them too much, because it can fry them in the end or come back to hurt, to get you physically in the long run. So, you know, just make sure she's strong enough in each step of her career.
And obviously an exciting long-term future for her, though, with this kind of foundation. Would she be a keeper?
Well, I hope so, yeah. No, for sure. I mean, I'm always of the thought process that everything's always for sale at some point, if the price is right. But no, I would really like to hold on to her. I think she's a great horse. And I think it's too early to tell in the long run where they're going to be. I think she obviously is a very exciting prospect. And both Spectre Vet and I are excited to see where the next year or two take us. And hopefully she'll be in Kelly's spot in the next 2 years as a 7-year-old.
Well, obviously, that kind of credentials you'd like on a young horse's CV at this age. Yeah. So terrific start. Well done again, Lynn. And thank you so much for coming on the program. The best of luck with her.
Thanks so much.
And now Sarah Broussard joins us to remember her mother, Rebecca, Becky Broussard, who has made a lasting impression on the sport of eventing in a variety of ways, from serving on the USEA Board of Governors and Executive Committee to acting as a trustee on the USEA Endowment Trust. Becky owned top horses for numerous riders, from Karen O'Connor to Philip Dutton, and started the event, of course, at Rebecca Farm in 2002. Her legacy will live on for many years through her numerous contributions to the sport, such as the Big Becky $30,000 Developing International Rider Grant, which is given in her name each year at the USEA convention. Sarah, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much.
Well, your mother did, of course, so many different things in her life that has meant so much to the sport. If you look back at her life and her involvement, do you remember how it all began?
When I was, I must have been an early teenager. my mom, that's when she got involved in the sport and in the governance. And she started out getting her membership to, and it was USCTA back then, so that she could be the organizer for Heron Park Horse Trials. And just kind of all went downhill from there. No, just kidding. She just continued to be involved, and throughout the years, with me continuing to stay in the sport, she did get involved in different committees and in the governance of the sport because it was something that was important to me, but it became very important to her. And, it was a big deal for her.
Did she talk about how her passion for horses and eventing began when she was younger?
You know, she and I never really talked about that. I know that she really enjoyed horses and loved them and enjoyed playing with them. But I don't really know how that started for her. I really have no idea.
Well, as you say, she became involved with the organization, not least of all starting the event at Rebecca Farm now back in 2002. But let's talk about first of all about her ownership of horses and how she chose those horses and selected the riders for them.
Well, I think, it wasn't so much that she chose horses or bought horses and then chose riders. The way that she was involved, certain riders had come to her and talked to her about possibly, buying a horse. And so a lot of the time it was very much the rider choosing the horse and that type of thing. I don't know that that my mom specifically went out and got any horse and then, I don't think that she ever saw a horse and then chose a rider. It was always the other way around.
Can you remember those early partnerships that she helped to facilitate?
Well, her first foray into horse ownership would have been with me. And that was great and amazing. And then she moved on, and there were a couple riders that she sponsored early in her career that weren't necessarily big-time riders, but that she wanted to see, move forward and do better. Karen O'Connor may have been the first kind of international rider that my mom got involved with. I'm not entirely positive it was Karen, but I think it was.
And then, of course, she also supported Philip Dutton.
Yep, Philip. And I mean, and that was one of the uniquities about my mom was that it wasn't about the rider and or the horse. It was about the sport. And, you get more horses, more riders, higher level horses, higher level riders. You get those in the mix and you improve the sport. And that was more what she was about. It wasn't about, one rider's career. It was about improving the sport.
Yes, and that's a very interesting and important, I think, distinction about your mother and the way she contributed in the various ways to the sport. So let's go back then to the event at Rebecca Farm. Do you remember how those early sort of kitchen table conversations came about?
Well, my mother had been involved with Heron Park since I believe Heron Park went recognized or became recognized in around 1990. It may have been 1989. So she was involved with that event for quite a while before we moved here to Rebecca Farm. And it was just, again, the event and what she was hoping to have here was more about improving the sport. Heron Park was a great location, is a great location, it's still there, is a great location, but it was not big enough to host the type of event that she wanted the Western riders, Western U.S. riders, to be able to have. So she and my dad began looking for a piece of property that would house, a true international upper level event. And they found initially Rebecca Farm. Right now it sits as one solid piece of property, but when they bought it, it was bought as, three different parcels, maybe four. So they kind of put it all together and then then let her vision take over, I guess.
And what was her vision then, Sarah, as you remember it in those formative years of the event?
If you look at the events and the upper level events, especially back in the, you know, the early 2000s, there really wasn't a lot west of the Mississippi. This was before Galway Downs started. You know, Galway and Rebecca Farm are very similar in age. We both kind of came onto the scene at the same time. And up until that time, in order for West Coast riders to excel and to be noticed, they really had to travel east. And she didn't really think that that was necessarily the best way to do it. She wanted to give the West Coast riders, or western half of U.S. riders, a true international platform to compete and represent, so that they would be noticed, so that they, you know, were included in looking at teams and all of that. It was really about, you know, improving the sport, to improve the riders, to improve the teams, to improve, you know, it's that kind of a good catch 22. You know, you make this better, and then the riders are better, and then the competition is better, and, you know, it just keeps going around and around.
Well, she said
that was really her main focus. Yeah.
She certainly achieved that. And just going back to your earlier points about her contribution to the governance of the sport and the boards that she sat on, do you remember then what was motivating her at the time then again, and to be involved in the way and to the level that she was?
Well, I think a lot of that, when I was younger, so in my teenage years, when I was a young rider, I was very active in the sport, and my mother became active with me, you know, just, you know, so that I was aware of what was going on. She was aware of what was going on. We could understand everything. And when I was no longer a young rider and decided to go off and go to school for a little while before I came back, you know, that was when my dad had retired, or was in the process of retiring, and my mom then, you know, there were no children in the house, and now she could, you know, follow, you know, do something. And I think that was, you know, very important to her, and she really enjoyed the people, you know, involved in the governance, the people involved in eventing. I mean, we are an amazing group of people. And, you know, so that was kind of her impetus. And she, you know, she wanted to eventually see the U.S., you know, her idea was to see the U.S. team on the medal podium at any event that they ever went to. And in order for that to happen, you need to have a good governance, a good solid base. And so that was part of why she got involved in it. It was really funny when I first started eventing. And so I was eventing. I was the one doing all that stuff. And my mom was a little bit in the background. And whenever she would call the office, she was always known as Sarah's mom. And we always joked about that for years. She was Sarah's mom. And then I went off to college. She became a very important person in the eventing world. I came back from college. I decided to come back into the eventing world, and then I was known as Becky's daughter. She had definitely made a name for herself, and, you know, I would say, oh, I'm Sarah Bruce. I'm like, oh, you're Becky's daughter. Yes, that's me. So, we always joked about that, how we swapped roles.
Yes, definitely some role reversal there. And, of course, one of the other wonderful legacies that we have of her is the Developing International Rider grant that was given in her name each year. It's worth $30,000, which is an enormously generous contribution to the sport and so important to developing young riders. Again, speaks to her very, you know, ethos of her involvement in the sport. Do you remember those early conversations of how that came about, Sarah?
To be perfectly honest, a lot of that happened between my mom and my dad. I really wasn't involved in that. By the time, you know, at that moment, you know, I was I mean, my main focus was the event. I was the organizer. I was running the event. And, you know, she and my dad and some other members of the eventing community had those conversations. So really that was kind of news to me. I mean, I think it's wonderful. And I have really enjoyed watching the riders, the ones that have gotten the grants, either the Big Becky grant, as we call it, or the Little Becky grant, and watching them improve their riding careers. It's been amazing. It's been a lot of fun.
And when you now look back fondly, obviously, at what she's done, what she did with her life, and what she left for you to continue, what do you take from that, Sarah?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. My mother was a very good role model. My mother was successful in pretty much everything that she tried to do. And so as a child growing up in that type of environment, I learned that it doesn't matter who you are or if you're a man or a woman, where you come from, whether you were born into it or not, you can be successful at anything you really put your mind to. And that me as a growing child, a growing woman, you know, I could, the world was limitless for me, because she just, you know, every day in what she did, her daily life, taught me that I could be that way, that it was possible. And, you know, I joke around a lot. A lot of people joke around with me, and whether or not, you know, some people didn't think that I would be able to fill my mother's shoes, per se. And to those people, I say, you know, you're right. My mother had, well, first off, her feet were slightly larger than mine, but she was, excuse me. I mean, she was what she was. And there's no way I could be that person, but I can fill my own pair of shoes and become someone who could have stood alongside her in what she did. So it's not about taking over her role. It's about creating a new role for me, one that she would be proud of for me, and then also one that, you know, would be equivalent to what she did. Does that make sense? So it's a little different, but, you know, I'm filling my own pair of shoes, and I'm learning, you know, learning daily how to do that. And, you know, my life is different than my mother's life. And what I'm doing at this point in time is much different than what she was doing at the same time in her life. But I still have those basics. I still have that mentality that, you know, if I put my mind to it, I can accomplish it. So I try to, you know, the event definitely was hers. That is something that she wanted to create and have for the West Coast riders and have for the U.S. in general. And she had great visions, and I can do my best to continue to try to, you know, keep those visions coming true, but I can also add a little bit, you know, like Halt Cancer at X. That's something different. That's not something that she would have done, but it's something that she would be proud that I did. As well as riding around in pink tutus. My mother never, never would have ridden around in pink tutus, but she would have been laughing all day with me running around in pink tutus. So she definitely would have enjoyed it. It's not something she would have done, but she would have enjoyed watching it.
She'd have seen the humor in it. If you had to sum her mm-hmm. up in a sentence or two, her personality, Sarah, what would that be?
Oh, wow. You know, that's a really tough one. We actually tried to do that when there's a building here at the college that has a memorial wall for her, and a lot of us put quotes on that wall as to, you know, who she was and what she meant and so on and so forth. And it's really interesting to read the, you know, different people, what they had to say. And mine on the wall just says something along, you know, my mother taught me how to be the woman, you know, something. My mother taught me how to be a successful woman by simply being herself. And for me, you know, thinking back on my mom, she was amazing. She's really cool. It took me a long time to realize how cool my mom was. And to really see all the really unique, genuine attributes that she had. And so to sum her up in a couple sentences is just impossible. But she was, you know, she was a force larger than life. And she's definitely a force to be reckoned with. And when she, you know, took something to heart, she would continue to fight for it or defend it or represent it, no matter what. She always stood her ground and stood for what she believed in.
Well, lots of wonderful memories, I'm sure, will be shared at this year's convention as we remember your mother. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the program and sharing your very dear memories of your mother.
Oh, well, thank you very much. You know, I mean, she was, like I said, she was a great person. She went from being a horse show mom to a top-notch organizer, as well as Board of Governor member and all of that. So, you know, it was, she played all the roles and really kind of understood everything from the inside out. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, a lot of memories. Like you said, a lot of memories, a lot of good people, a lot of good friends. So it'll be a great time this year in December.
I'm sure it will. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
And you can find a full list of the 2015 USEA Hall of Fame inductees on the website at useventing.com. You'll also find all the latest information and program for this year's annual convention, which will be held from the 2nd through the 6th of December at the Omni Shoreham Hotel and Resort in Washington, D.C. And whilst you're on the website, be sure to check out the full reports and results from the 2015 Young Event Horse East Coast Championships. And speaking of young horses, we should mention that Debbie Adams's D.A. Duras, ridden by Kelly Prather, finished 9th at the FEI World Breeding Eventing Championships at Le Lion d'Angers in France this weekend. Their trip was made possible by the Holcamp Turner Young Event Horse Le Lion d'Angers grant. And they are the first recipients of this award, having earned it by being the highest scorer of the 2013 USEA Young Event Horse 5-Year-Old Championship. And we'll also be bringing you the winner of the West Coast Championships, which takes place at Galway Downs International Event from October the 28th through the 29th. But that's it for this week's program. Don't forget you can download this podcast to any podcast app from the iTunes Podcast Store. Keep up with all the latest news on our social media at Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Until next week, thank you all for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.